You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
In Miami, the Zoo Miami, Dan Levy sleeps tonight. In Miami, the Zoo Miami, Dan Levy sleeps tonight. He drinks and eats all times of day. Like a spray. In a penthouse, a South Beach penthouse, a hippo sleeps tonight. In a penthouse, a South Beach penthouse, a hippo sleeps tonight. He drinks tequila most of the day.
Beautiful, moving. Ron McGill joins us as he does every single week. We never run out of questions for him. Amin El Hassan, you start the bidding today. Get in here with Ron McGill.
Ron, at my house in Phoenix, every morning around 6 a.m., I wake up hearing the sound of construction, but it turns out it's not construction. It's a bird. A bird that likes the, but it's not pecking at wood, it's pecking at metal.
Yes.
They do that?
Yes. Woodpeckers love to peck at metal because not only are they pecking to look for food, but they also peck to announce their presence. So what he's got is he's found a louder drum. The metal, of course, resonates a sound a lot louder than the wood does, and therefore he has found a place to make sure that every other woodpecker knows where he's at.
How do I get rid of him?
You know, now in the spring, it's going to be tough because he's found a place to make that noise. But as soon as that breeding urge leaves, which will be as we get into the summer, so will he. So you just need to just have a little bit more patience for another month. So that's it.
Incidentally, Bob McGinn, who's been covering the Packers for a long time, is reporting that Aaron Rodgers reportedly mocked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. I don't know how to pronounce that guy's
name.
You
nailed it.
In team group chats by calling him Jerry Krause. We'll get to that in a little bit here.
Gucci.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, what is the process of introducing a new animal into the zoo?
Well, it's an evolved process. You know, we want to make sure, first of all, we're not getting any animals sick. So when the first animal comes to the zoo, it goes to a far corner of the zoo removed from the rest of the collection. It's called a quarantine area. And it stays there for 30 to 60 days. We then take blood samples. We take fecal samples, urine samples. We want to make sure it's not carrying any type of internal parasite that could be transferred to the rest of the the collection, and of course, any kind of disease, any kind of transmittable disease. So it goes through a series of tests during that 30 to 60 day period. During that time, it also gets acclimated to the temperature. You know, if we've received an animal, let's say from the St. Louis Zoo in December, it's going to be not used to the warmer climate down here. So we got to get used to that climate. And then we also got to get it used to whatever food it's going to be getting here. So animals usually arrive here from other facilities with the food that they're normally eating. And then we slowly but surely start introducing the diet that we may have here for them. So it's just a process of getting them slowly integrated to the climate, the people, the food, and then introduce them to the rest of the collection.
Outside of feral cats, what's done, what species has done, or animal you brought in, not just an invasive animal, but an animal that you brought in has done the most damage to the zoo?
Well, you know, if you're talking about an animal in the collection that is hard to maintain on an exhibit without the destruction that it does, it's any of the wild pigs, the warthogs, the Red River hogs, the 40 pigs. These animals, they just root up everything. You might want to have nice grass, nice plants out there, and they'll root that thing up like a bulldozer came through there. And it's just their natural process. So we come to the conclusion, listen, we just got to just keep giving them different things to play with out there and understand they're never going to have beautiful grass. As far as non-native animals that have come in and caused problems, iguanas. Iguanas are coming in and people say, oh, well, what problems did they cause? Well, all of our hibiscus, beautiful hibiscus bushes don't have any flowers on them. We have none of the flowers that these iguanas eat as soon as they come out. Not only that, they are now burrowing under different places of the walkway that cause the walkway to collapse, because they'll create these tunnels under the walkway and create these kind of cave-ins on walkways and exhibits. So they can be very destructive in that way.
Ron, forgive me, because I was asking you based on how you make animals adapt and test them. I was asking you basically because of feral cats and the damage that they can do in terms of killing other animals, not through disease. I was asking you, who comes in or what animal has been brought in and somehow the protocol failed and all of a sudden other animals started dying?
You know, fortunately, Dan, we've not had that happen here, or we brought in a protocol, you know, an animal that ran through the protocol and then transferred something to another animal. The problem that we have is a lot of time just parasites that travel through the air here in Florida, whether they be mosquito-borne or tick-borne or flea-borne. Those are the things, you know, we have very big processes where we try to keep a preventative medicine program where we're treating animals for any kind of tick infestation. We don't fortunately have one here, but every now and then a tick will show up and you never know what that one tick can carry. So we've had a couple of instances in the 40 plus years I've been here where we've had an animal get a blood parasite from a tick that we've had to treat, but nothing fatal, fortunately.
Ron, I saw the other day you tweeted out that you gave Christine Aguilera a tour of the zoo. Is that the most famous person you've ever given a tour of the zoo to?
I'd be between Christina Aguilera and Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, what? I think, would probably. What was that?
The King of Pop?
I had the King of Pop. I had him. You know, I got to tell you something. Let me tell you a quick story about Michael Jackson. Now, I know Michael Jackson obviously had some issues. But when he called me, and Dan, I know what you're going to say. I'm not saying this as a name dropper, so please don't start with that, okay? But I'm very good friends with Jamie Lee Curtis. And when she came here.
Wow.
How else are we supposed to absorb
Pick
that?
Up that name you're going to drop.
No, see, or I'm get not on the show. I'm trying to explain how this Michael Jackson thing occurred. And I guess she told him that he could trust me and not letting any paparazzi know anything. But this was in the heat of when the paparazzi were really after him and all this stuff. So I got a call that said, it was referred by Jamie Lee Curtis. He'd like to come to the zoo with his children, but please, he doesn't want anybody to know about it. And I promised him that. I didn't even tell the director of the zoo. I didn't tell anybody. I told him where to meet me after the zoo closed in the back entrance to the zoo, an employee entrance. I had him come in. I greeted him. I got to be honest. I was expecting to have him surrounded by a mob of, you know, this entourage of people. It was just him, his three kids, and his driver. And I'll tell you, if his driver was his bodyguard, he must have been like a Bruce Lee or something. Because the guy must have weighed 150 pounds soaking wet. He came out of the car. The driver had an umbrella. And immediately Michael came out of the car just wearing a Superman sweatsuit. I didn't even go to shake his hand because, you know, I heard about all this germophobia stuff and stuff like that. But man, he came, walked right up to me. He shook my hand like a man. He said, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you doing this with my kids. None of his kids had any masks on, no gloves on there. None of that stuff that you saw all over the media. I mean, they actually looked normal, except for the smallest kid blanket had a little blanket that he huddled like Linus, you know, from Charlie Brown. And I showed him around and they had an incredible time. He's in my office here and he's looking at a lot of things in my office, looking around. And as he's standing there, he's subconsciously, he's going, boom, and I'm looking at my office, sitting in my chair. And it was like a surreal moment. I'm thinking, Michael Jackson's in my office kind of singing and dancing, looking at stuff and reading stuff on my wall. And I told him something when he left. I said, you know, Michael, if more people saw you like this, I don't think you'd have as many of the problems that you have. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, Ron, the problem is no one will ever know what it's like to have to be me. Now, I'm not making excuses for the guy, but I'm also saying that he's right. I don't think anybody really knew what it was like to have to be him.
Ron, back to Christina Aguilera, though. So, one, what was she like? Two, you said in your tweet, if you had a Mount Rushmore of female vocalists, she would be on it. Absolutely. Who else, Ron, would be on that Mount Rushmore?
Oh, round it out.
Okay, well, first of all, let me tell you, Christina Aguilera was very nice. She was very down to earth. You know, she was very unpretentious. She was very close with her daughter and her significant other. They've been engaged for, I guess, for 6 years, but I don't know when they're getting married or if they're getting married. It was nice to see such a huge star just privately enjoying her daughter and having a day at the zoo. You know, she was able to wear the mask and wear her hat, so I kept her off public areas as much as possible. But even when we went into public areas, nobody recognized who she was because she wore glasses, she wore a black hat and a mask. And, you know, she's not very tall. She's maybe 5'1", something like that. And she was really very nice. I was very, very pleased. And one of the things that she did that I'll tell you what kind of a person she is, and I never asked this. I you know, whenever I take celebrities around the zoo, I never ask for anything, but she is probably my daughter's favorite singer. So I said, listen, guy, I said, Christina, I hate to say this, but you know, my daughter lives in Spain. Is there any way, she was in my office, if I FaceTime and you just said hi? And she said, sure. And I got to tell you, you know, for those of us who are dads, you know that sometimes our daughters think we're embarrassing to them. They think, oh, we're not cool, we're so old and all blah, 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 blah. Well, when my daughter answers the phone FaceTime in Spain, she's in the car on a date and Christina Aguilera says, hi, it's Christina. I just want to say hi and say what a great job your dad did taking us around the zoo. I was cool for at least a minute. That says a lot about Christina.
Every now and then you come through, Ron. Every now and then.
Now, my Mount Rushmore. Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey in her prime,
wow.
Whitney Houston in her prime, and Celine Dion with a backup of Barbara Streisand.
Wow. I wrote down the same names. Look at my Mount Rushmore. Look at that. But I had Aretha Franklin on
there. I had the same names. Well, the same names.
Well, two of the same names, Bill.
What is the proper amount of time, according to the super judgy Ron McGill, that someone should be engaged before being married?
I don't have any proper time. I just think 6 years is a long time. I don't know. I mean, and you know, maybe they don't plan on getting married. Maybe this is just like a promise of engagement. Listen, his name is Matt. Very nice guy. He was really, you know, super nice guy. But they've been engaged for 6 years.
Witty, what do you have for Ron? It really feels like weird. Ron does not approve. Like, Ron is telling this guy, hey,
why do you always want to give me controversy?
Because it sounds like you want to.
I was engaged to my wife for 9 months, okay? And people say that was too fast. Okay, maybe that was too fast.
Right.
But you know what? 32 years later, I'm still married to her. So maybe it wasn't too fast.
But 6 years is too slow, right?
You're very aggressive.
Come on, screw guys. Would your wife have you been engaged to her for 6 years?
Get off the pot already.
Exactly.
Say it, Ron.
Tie the knots.
Not those words exactly, but yeah, that's kind of the point. You know, you got to make a commitment and say, listen, you know, come on, Dan. You think Mrs. Levitard would have waited six years?
Dan, he's not marrying her.
I think it is totally romantic to describe an engagement and getting married in love as shit or get off the pot.
You guys don't think Ron McGill knows what a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever keeps her happy in your arms? Because I'm thanking you, Ron, for doing exactly what a girl wants.
I got it, Mike. Thanks.
Oh, God.
I didn't.
Says what?
Jeez, I guess I didn't rub any of you the right way.
You let the genie out the bottle.
Oh, my.
Winnie, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, on the subject of tours, you were describing giving a tour. I gave my first driving tour of South Florida yesterday, and I was just curious if you have any tips, one tour guide to another.
This guy.
Listen, you know, just have fun. Don't take everything so darn seriously. And know your audience. It depends who you're giving the tour to, buddy. If you're giving the tour to a family with 6-7-year-old kids, that's one kind of tour. If you're giving a tour to newlyweds, that's a different kind of tour. You know, you just got to cater to your audience.
He was giving the tour to me, and Witty and I have just different things in mind about where we want to live, what type of retirement communities we want to live at, when we want to move into one of them, the average age of who lives in the building, that sort of thing.
You're so young. Why are you talking about that already?
Because she's hanging out with Chris.
You know, well, I mean, you know, it's the kind of eventualities, you know. You have to be prepared for eventually, you know, you're going to live in a retirement home. You got to know what kind of community it is. You got to know what the kind of crowd it is.
You guys planned out your funeral, haven't you?
Yeah, you're going to plan out where the cemetery you're buried into? What I was
exactly.
You guys got to stop going at Woody for being so nice. Woody, look at me. You are beautiful, no matter what they say.
Oh, get out of here!
Oh, my words can't bring you down.
In every music single fine. Way?
Music fine.
Ron, you tell Shaquille O'Neal he's fat and Michael Jackson that he's got problems to this, to their faces? That's one of the things that you do.
Well, no. Now, Shaq's a friend, so I can be straight with him, and I think he appreciates that. He laughs when I tell him straight on. And I didn't tell Michael Jackson, you got real problems. I said, you wouldn't have many of the problems that you have. I mean, come on, it's no secret that he was having problems.
But that's suggesting he has problems, Ron. I mean, Dan's right. A little rude.
Why? Well, yeah, he had problems. I mean, if he didn't have problems.
You don't say that, though, King of Pop.
Right, exactly.
Well, I didn't say, like, you got real problems. I just said, listen, I just thought if more people saw you like this. I like
Ron going, you got some real problems, mister.
No, I mean, listen, the guy has some issues. I'm not. He was an incredible musician. I think he was a savant in many ways. I just think, quite honestly, I don't think he was like Peter Pan. He never had a childhood, so he wanted to try to go back to it in a lot of ways.
Hook on Cinephobe. Check it out now wherever you get podcasts. Jesus.
Ron, we'll get you out of here real quick, but tell us, who needs to be shamed? What state in the country needs to be shamed because they're cruel to the animals, they hate the animals, they don't like Ron McGill enough, and they're being cheap about not giving to Ron McGill's substantive endowment?
Not going to do it, Dan, because nobody's being cruel, nobody's being cheap. As a matter of fact, I see nothing but generosity. And I wish I had the time to go somewhere and really thank everybody individually, because I'm beyond blown away from Hawaii. I'm getting things now from Canada, lots of them, New Brunswick and Canada. I mean, it's unbelievable, the response. And I'm getting things from $1 to thousands of dollars. And, you know, like my assistant said to me, she goes, why would somebody send $1? I go, you know what? Maybe they can't afford any more. The fact that they sent $1, to me, I look at the positive side. I think it's somebody saying, listen, I care and I'm listening to you. So it's not the amount, Dan. It's not being cheap. It's the effort. It's the thought. It really sounds cliche, but I can't thank Levitard fans enough. And I can't tell you how many have done it in honor of you, Dan, and Dan the Hippo. Dan the Hippo's big. I'm going to do a little mini documentary on Dan the Hippo that I'm going to give you guys.
All right.
Ron, you're welcome for that dollar. That was me.
Mississippi is still a hellscape, though, Ron.
Mississippi. Mississippi is... Come on, Mississippi.
No,
do better, Mississippi.
They're being good.
No,
being
do good. Better in every way, Mississippi. Ron, we will talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
What poster was on your wall growing up, Dan? Did you have a poster? Because Christina Aguilera, I don't know if you could tell, I was a big fan. That was a poster on my wall.
I had the Bo Derek poster on my
ten. That's a classic. Yeah, with the braids.
Yeah. Yeah, and that one and the Islanders drive for five.
Let's walk through the poster. The poster's in my room. I had a Pavel Bure poster. Right.
Yeah. The Russian Rocket.
Christina Aguilera.
Ags.
I had...
What?
What?
Ags?
I'm sorry?
I guess...
He just got caught up in the air.
Aggie.
Yeah. No, she does that, yeah.
No, they call her Xtina.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does anyone call Christina Aguilera Ags?
I had a poster of The Rock in my bedroom, and randomly I had a poster of Drew Bledsoe. I didn't even really like Drew Bledsoe, but someone gave it to me, and I was like, oh, I also think I had like a Jeff Blake random
no
poster
way
of my
Mike
room.
No yeah. way
I had a poster of
it had
Jeff
to be
Blake.
The only poster of Jeff Blake
you yeah. know I loved sports as a kid so
the only one in circulation yeah, yes. one of one
collector's item
Top Shot.
Wait a minute, you had a Jeff Blake while he was with the Bengals?
Yeah, Bengals Jeff Blake.
As a Browns fan?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really grasp divisional rivalries at the time. And kid, yeah. I think the Browns were out of the NFL by the time this Jeff Blake one was up. I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, but I had a Jeff Blake poster.
Roy, it was just plates to him at that time.
Right, yeah, that's yeah. true. I think I also had like a random Kansas City Chiefs one. It's just, I loved sports as a kid, man.
I made my own poster once. I did a collage of all these sports. I had a very artistic side when I was young. I know that's shocking to everyone. So I made a collage of Sports Illustrated covers, Dan, because that was a big deal back then. It had like the Len Bias one when he passed away right after the draft. It had Gretzky coming onto the scene. I made a collage of them. I had 12 Sports Illustrated covers, and I framed it. It was beautiful.
I had one Sports Illustrated. Like an idiot. I just ripped it off from the magazine, but I had the Art Modell one when Modell moved the Browns. I had that one just like thumbtacked to my wall. And my thumbtack was like this pin of Jim Everett, the old Rams quarterback.
Roy, I thought one of the funniest things on the show today, and we're going to have to navigate some of this as we go forward with hockey, and we cover the hockey playoffs some in a way that we probably, I don't think we've ever done around here, because our local team is of a good amount of interest, and there's nothing cooler than in sports. I don't think that a region coming together around an interest in sports where you start grabbing people who aren't sports fans. The Panthers have a chance. It's impossible to think, but 25 years ago in this city, people had flying from their cars, Panthers flags and Panthers stuff. And we might get knocked out. You might find a situation where South Florida gets knocked out in the first round.
I mean, because they're probably going to play the defending Stanley Cup champion. But look, can we stop doing that? Even though I'm looking at my board console right now and I have one of these rats from 1996. These guys have been playing so hard. And we don't have to keep coding everything and what it felt like 30 years ago. It'd be really cool if these guys, like, we had Ratko on today.
Mike, it's the only time they were good, though.
But
I mean,
I really hope
the next year,
I really hope a bunch of Latinx people that are generation removed and hear the same stories that Dan regales our listening audience with, like, oh, it was crazy. They pass on that tradition, and you have people throwing deli meat when the butcher scores or gets a big hit.
Good idea, man. Yeah.
I've got a couple of things on this, though. I think there's going to be a tension on the show because we talked to the butcher today, and we did some Randy Moeller hockey talk, and there's some wacky here, but Roy wants to ask super specific playoff hockey serious questions. Questions so serious that Randy Moeller, who is traveling with the team and covered them for many years, one of the questions that Roy asked about goaltending, Randy Moeller's like, I have no idea. None. I don't have any idea.
It was a confusing appearance for Randy, though. I mean, he was disoriented. He was.
But I find the dichotomy funny, that Roy does not want to do funny about hockey. He wants to ask the butcher serious questions, and he wants to ask Randy Moeller serious questions, and they're questions that he wants answers to. I believe
Roy doesn't want to do funny, Dan.
Yeah, it's not just limited to hockey.
Are you just getting to know Roy?
I mean somebody's gonna ask the hockey questions around here.
Do they know?
Yes, they're going into the playoffs. This needs serious coverage. I'm a credentialed media member for the Panthers. Somebody's got to ask the questions around it.
Well, sounds like someone has to sort of legitimize why they're having the free grub, dude, at the game. I know you're chowing down that stir fry.
Oh, he loves that.
So, do you have any sort of...
That wasn't a denial, dude. You just stayed silent.
Wait, what do you want me to say to that?
Like, that they is offer, delicious.
They offer food to media members. I'm not the only one eating there.
Man, that sounds like confirmation.
If they didn't have stir fry or free food, would you be a media member?
They don't serve stir fry.
Yes, they do. I've had the stir fry with you.
Name names. Who eats more? Roy, who eats more than you? Name names.
Probably nobody.
My dude chowing down like it's 3 a.m. at the Taco Bell.
Do we have any sort of unease about the fact that the New York Rangers, you do not often see a statement like this from a professional sports team. The New York Rangers released on Rangers stationery. Quote, the New York Rangers are extremely disappointed. The Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these types of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent
Panarin.
That was,
like, just think about where you eat lunch every day. Panera bread, just the, Panarin.
He's not eating.
The bread man.
That will prevent.
What?
That's his nickname.
That will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety, George Parros, and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. Do you guys have any discomfort?
That fine's going to cost him a lot of bread.
What? Do you have any discomfort about the fact that we spent 30 minutes pulling the beard of the butcher? When just like, hey, you're a wacky physical hitter guy. You
we asked him how many people he killed.
You injure people. Do you like murdering them?
No regrets.
None.
Zero. That was a great interview with Radko the Butcher. I'd do it again, you hear?
The Rangers have every right to be upset. Did you see what he did, what Tom Wilson did?
Oh, this Tom Wilson guy.
There was a Ranger player already down, face first on the ice, and Tom Wilson, minutes later, came and punched him in the back of the head. Like, what are you doing? I mean,
how often do you get a team statement that calls for somebody's firing? We believe that somebody is a dereliction of duty. When do you ever see a team make a statement like that? Like, it's one thing for Pat Riley to send out a team spokesman to tell Danny Ainge to bleep off or bleep, or, you know, shut the bleep up or whatever it was. But to put on stationery, hey, this person, dereliction of duty, and this person should be fired. I mean, you got any precedent in basketball for a team calling for somebody's firing?
No, usually they say he needs to be suspended. There should be discipline. There's all sorts of mechanisms that the league can take action for someone going above and beyond what is considered normal within the sport. But to ask him to get fired, how many people even talk about athletes in that context? Fire him. No one fires athletes. Talk about cutting them or waiving them or suspending them.
Well, but this isn't an athlete they're firing. They're talking about the guy in charge of player safety that they're saying is unfit for the job, because isn't that what's being said there? It's not, it's not the act of they're not calling for a firing of a player here. They're saying that the guy who's the head of player safety is unfit to continue in his current role.
Well, he only fined him $5,000, so not a lot of dough for the bread man.
I mean, it's pretty funny because George Parros is a former enforcer. He was a goon, and he's the head of player safety. Like, the Rangers do have every right to be angry about this, because that $5,000 fine was not enough.
It's such a great point. If you're a goon, you have the guy overseeing this that you want overseeing it, because he is a legendary goon, so he's not going to fine him too much money, right?
Well, obviously, he didn't think it was that serious, but somebody...
because he's done it.
Yeah, he's done it.
It's like hiring a degenerate gambler to be head of the gaming commission, right? You don't want the person who's kind of a perpetrator of this to be in charge of it.
Did you guys see the Capitals tweet last night? They ended up deleting it because it was quite controversial, but they tweeted a meme that was like, honestly, it's too hard to describe orally, but it was like making light of the thing, and people got really pissed at it, and it was kind of just, it was absurd.
Didn't that game eliminate?
Hold on a second, Billy. What did you say there? She did peter out.
She did.
You enjoyed her petering out. You enjoyed pointing out someone else petering out other than you.
That's usually me.
I'll try to explain it.
You're not so strong when Witty's not around to just take you everywhere and show you how to do everything.
Okay, so it's Tom Wilson, and then it's like the bracket meme, and the top bracket is small, and it says sheesh a bunch of times, and then the big bracket on the rest of his body says rent free with like the rage face guy. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, like, you're following this, right? And then there's this tiny bracket at the bottom that says the best goal scorer in the league.
Stay strong, Jess.
I think what Amina is saying is you should have done this the first time.
But I mean, I don't think anyone follows.
No,
I thought,
she said,
you know,
it was difficult to describe.
It is difficult
orally,
to describe.
And now she's nervous and leaking confidence, and she just punched the microphone, and no one's helping her. And Chris is making it worse.
I was trying to help.
I'm out of whack right now. I'm in a different seat. Like, I don't know what's going on. Right. I don't even know which mic button is mine.
Sugar!
shots.
Moderna.
I got Pfizer.
What does a bracket meme look like?
Can you see my phone, Billy? Do you see my phone?
Oh,
yeah, that clears it all up.
It's a new meme. It's a little like dated at this point, but it was really popular 2 weeks ago where you have like a thing and the small bracket is part of the thing and then the big bracket is like what is like the main thing.
I still don't know what it is.
Hang on a second. A meme got outdated in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Internet moves fast, Witty.
It got annoying in one day.
That's the thing with the lines, right? Where they break up the word in different pieces.
So it'd be like the Levitard show and it'd be like small bracket radio show, big bracket jokes about Greg Cody's hair or something like that. Right. Like that would be like how you do that bracket meme.
You should have laughed at Chip Bronson.
I didn't think Chip Bronson was funny. Am I on your shit list now for that? Is this how this works?
This is the payback.
To answer Billy's question, that game did eliminate the Rangers from playoff contention.
Look, he wants to do serious.
He really does.
I'm answering questions here.
I mean, it's amazing.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds, quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.